How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I'm Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. I just spilled coffee all over my expensive keyboard. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into Arya 7 of A Storm of Swords. Matt, I guess I'm going to ask for a keyboard for Christmas this year.
Jeez. Oh no, man. Is your keyboard okay? What kind of keyboard are you rocking there, dude? That looks pretty cool.
And that's a happy hacking keyboard. I use it for work.
Okay, let me see that. Show me on the camera. Let me
recording.
See that. Okay.
It's a great keyboard. Not cheap.
It was a great keyboard.
We might be all right.
Yeah. I rock the low profile, and I have this is like a custom keycap and everything. It's got the, you know.
Yeah, I used to be super into keyboards and do all my own fit, like rings, different caps. I used to build them, but I kind of just conceded with this happy hacking keyboard because I really like it. I like the layout. It's a very different layout. There's like no arrows or anything on it,
right?
And it's very efficient for coding. Unfortunately, yeah, we'll see if this thing lasts. Thankfully, I don't need this keyboard to do the show. But
dang, man, that sucks. Yeah. One time I sat down to live stream on TikTok, and I like 1 second in, and I like went like this to move my mic, and literally spilled a protein shake all on this keyboard, and it still works. But it totally sucked because you know it's like a protein powder protein shake, so I literally had to like rip out every key. Yep. It was a mess.
It's gonna harden. I have a huge mouse pad that covers my desk, and same. I feel like I spill something on it about once a month, and I just have to I just buy a new one every year because I'm like, this thing, no matter how much I clean it, it just feels bad. I'm like, ugh. You know, sometimes it happens though. I have so much stuff on my desk, I hate it.
I decluttered mine. You know me, every week I'm like, I move this around. I'm now down to a one monitor setup.
Man, I spend so much time in my office that I never want to be in here when I don't have to be. Yeah. So I never end up decluttering or resetting anything up because as soon as I'm done, I sprint out of this room and I'm like, I don't want to be in there anymore.
Yeah. Cause you work in there. You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, today's chapter, there wasn't really news. Oh, you did get the I don't know if you have it nearby you, the new box set.
I do not have it near me, unfortunately. But okay. I do have the new box set. It is available. I saw it in a bookstore finally, but you should probably buy it from Amazon because it is like $40 cheaper on Amazon.
I almost bought it, but you buy way more books than me. The mass market paperback, those are like the small ones, right?
Yes, the smaller ones. The trades are the big floppy ones, which I got to tell you. Yeah, you should do the trades. In my humble opinion, they're very readable. Very, very readable. And the covers are sick. I actually think book one has the best cover out of them all, but they're all really cool.
Yeah, because I actually don't. I don't own them in a set, and so I want to get. And so I want to get. But I was waiting for that new set. Oh yeah. Oh wow. Mass market paperback right now only $25. If only Amazon was thing. But I see. I don't do the mass market. That's the small ones because I would never read that.
Yeah, just click the paperback option, and
the paperback is $77.
But it's retail like $110 or $120 on Penguin Random House's website or your local bookstore. So. It's not too bad of a deal. They're really nice. I really like it. They kept the same topography from the old mass markets, which I appreciate because I love the topography in those books and the font. So they're great. Yeah, they're awesome. My wife's reading through for the first time, and she's in book two, and she is reading out of that edition, and she loves it. So I handed her my old mass market paperbacks, which are falling apart because I've read through them so many times. And she was like, thank goodness. Thank goodness you got these, because I was tired of pages falling out of these mass markets. And I'm like, well, they're well loved and well read, and I won't let her touch any of the special editions I have.
For sure.
So I have 8 editions of Game of Thrones.
Wow. Here, I'll get this pulled up here. Yeah. Allow, whatever. I just think the artwork is so cool.
Yeah, I like it because it's kind of a different vibe than what we've had in other covers and you know, some of the art from the show and stuff. This almost feels like a different take on how the series could look and feel from the show. Like, it does not match the show, which I like that a lot. It feels a little bit more fantasy-esque.
Yeah. By the way, dude, real quick before we begin here, you know, sometimes when I take shorts of what we're saying, and it's like sometimes I grab some that I think, oh man, this one's really good. And some I grab, I'm like, this is kind of good. And I kind of like, in my head, I think it's kind of like a throwaway moment, right?
Right.
Like, it's just like, this short's like kind of okay. And typically those are the ones that always like do really well. But man, I posted the clip of us from last week talking about, or the week before. Well, I kind of, we recorded 2 weeks before. We recorded one episode. I split it into two since we were both gone last week. About Dorne, real quick before we begin here. And man, everyone agreed. I mean, I was shocked at actually how well that clip was doing on TikTok and YouTube when you had said that, you know, Dorne is the reason you tell people to read the books, because you're like, the show cut it out and it is going to be such a big player.
Hey, the internet being nice to me for once. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, TikTok, as we said, TikTok is pretty positive. Even on YouTube, they were agreeing with it well. But I'll get it pulled up here because, man, they were saying Sir Jimmy's over there calling, you know, speaking the truth about Dorne.
I do, from the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's see here. Young Griff is what I'm looking forward to. I suspect Cersei being queen in the show will be replaced by Griff. Somebody else saying Dorne is going to spread the news that Dany had Quentin burned by her dragons, which isn't true, but won't matter. And I think Dany is going to have a real bad time when the small folk, when she shows up. Then somebody else said they will view Griff as the rightful king and son of Rhaegar. You know, even if it's not true, it won't really matter who is there to save them from Lannister rule. And then somebody else said Dorne is continuing proof the writers don't know how to write real complex, strong female characters.
They mean the show, I assume.
Yeah. Not George. Yeah. Okay, they're talking about the show. Yeah.
Making sure. Yeah. I mean, whenever you say it, it seems obvious, but it's just something that kind of goes away. Like when people do the breakdowns, like what went wrong with the book or with the show? I don't see Dorne mentioned all that much, but I do think it's integral. So I'm glad people got something out of that. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Some other comments here. These are the ones on YouTube. So true. The show slept on Dorne. It could have been so much more. Somebody else. I don't care what everyone says. My boy Quentin is the prince that was promised. He will fly to King's Landing on top of Viserion saying it's Quentin time. and then he'll marry Dany. Then somebody else said, big facts, the Sand Snake storyline and the Northern story were the best parts. D&D done messed it up.
Yeah, they left it out. And that's why we say people are like, oh, they ran out of source material and that was wrong. Well, there was a lot of source material they just chose not to do. So, yeah.
Well, maybe they could still see that there's no way George was finishing this. They're like, all right. Because they did go back to, I will give them a little credit. They did go back and pull some source material that they left out like when they introduced the Euron Balon thing. You know, that was like from quite a bit before, but.
Yeah.
But
a lot of 4 and 5 are different from the show, though. And those are my favorite books to reread because of that, I think.
Yeah. Well, hey, with that, let's move into today's chapter, a little smaller chapter, kind of action packed. Mm-hmm. The next 2 chapters, I should say, are where things is actually some of my favorite back to back chapters in the whole series, because it's the chapter where Bran is in the tower. So like Bran's heading north and John is heading south, and it's just you don't really get a lot of chapters where you feel like they are connected, right?
Yeah,
because it feels like, well, we bounce all the way over here, then we bounce all the way over here, so it's kind of cool. But with that, we're kind of finishing up a little bit of Arya and the Brotherhood Without Banners today. And then we kind of, you know, last week was a short chapter too. So I think, you know, looking at George's writing, a little bit of short chapters here, and you can tell he had a lot of other big plans coming. But here we go today. Arya watches Lord Beric Dondarrion and Thoros of Myr seem to be everywhere at once, both with flaming swords in hand. After the battle, the Brotherhood hangs several mummers, including Septon Ult, for their crimes. Arya is upset that Beric let Sandor Clegane free after taking all his gold. That night at the Septon's brewhouse, Beric speaks with Arya and asks Thoros, "How many times have you brought me back now?" Thoros claims it is R'hllor who has restored his life six times, but the seventh may be the end of both of them. Beric reveals that he has trouble remembering his past and would be unable to even find his ancestral home. Thoros believes that the Lord of Light is not done with Beric yet, and that is why the Red God has raised him from the dead so many times. The outlaws plan to ransom Arya back to her mother or brother. Later, Gendry joins the outlaws as a blacksmith and is knighted by Lord Beric. Soon after, Sandor returns, claiming he has killed the sentries. He demands his gold back, but is rebuffed by Thoros and commanded to leave. The Hound leaves, realizing he cannot do anything, and then they discover that the sentries were only asleep. When some complain that the Hound will follow and murder them in their sleep, Bendry states, "Sandor Clegane would kill us all gladly, but not in our sleep."
Yeah, so this is a pretty interesting chapter, maybe less so for exactly what the events are, but more so the implications that it has on a character that we know will be resurrected later in this book, which is Lady Stoneheart. And whenever you start to hear Beric Dondarrion losing himself from these resurrections, we have to wonder what happens if Lady Stoneheart were to run into Arya and Sansa or whoever it might be. Lady Stoneheart is driven by her personal experience of being, you know, completely screwed over by the phrase. So it seems that she does have some recollection of her past, but this does kind of give us a little bit of foreshadowing that it's not all Catelyn Stark in there. And who knows? We've even postulated that maybe ends up having to be one of her daughters, could be the end of her possibly. What does that mean for Lady Stoneheart is what I get out of this chapter, whenever we're doing a reread. Beric is a very special case of like applied magic happening in the series. Like we get a lot of like, is it magic? Is it not? Well, Beric Dondarrion being resurrected in front of our eyes, the last Arya chapter tells us that it's true. Whether it's really the Lord of Light or some other force, we're not sure, just blood magic in general. But yeah, this is a cool chapter to think about where Lady Stoneheart will be once she inevitably runs into someone from her family, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I 100% believe that she is going to run into, whether it's Arya or Sansa, perhaps, who knows, maybe she runs into Bran. We don't know, right? Where that would be insane to think about. And that's one of the other wild cards too. You know, we never really think about that as something that could happen. Is I think you and I have always talked about the possibility of Lady Stoneheart running into Arya because she's in the Riverlands and she's running around, right? And or maybe she runs into a Sansa or something like that. But you know, some of the characters we've not talked about her interacting with, and it's totally possible that she could, is Rickon or Bran.
And she wouldn't remember Rickon because we barely do either.
Exactly. But you know, it is going to be something interesting to see if Bran sees his mother and thinks of her and thinks about like the Lord of Light and all of those things. And that's really something a lot of people never really it's just not a connection you see a lot of people talk about when it comes to Lady Stoneheart. Is what is Bran going to have any interactions with her? Is he going to see her in some sort of Weirwood vision in Winds of Winter? Is he going to be able to talk to her, right? Or is, you know, we talked about the idea of Bran being an agent of the Cold One, you know, perhaps persuaded, or he doesn't know exactly who it is he's serving with the Three-Eyed Crow, since, you know, the Three-Eyed Crow is, excuse me, in the show, the Three-Eyed Crow seems to be a good person. In the books, we think maybe the Three-Eyed Crow itself might be a little mischievous or also somewhat of a dark agent. So that could be something really interesting too, to keep an eye out for and to think about, is like Bran's possible interactions with her.
Definitely.
Yeah. So there's some other things in this chapter too, just before we really start diving in, is the Reigns of Castamere are sung in this chapter too. Yet again, still hinting right at that red wedding that's coming down the way.
And the Hound will be present for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So here we go. I'll read just a little bit of the beginning of the chapter here. The man on the roof was the first to die. He was crouched down by the chimney 200 yards away, no more than a vague shadow in the pre-dawn gloom. But as the sky began to lighten, he stirred, stretched, and stood. Engai's arrow took him in the chest. He tumbled bonelessly down the steep slate pitch and fell in front of the septory door. The mummers had posted two guards there, but their torch left them night blind, and the outlaws had crept in close. Kyle and Notch let fly together. One man went down with an arrow through his throat, the other through his belly. The second man dropped the torch, and the flames licked up at him. He screamed as his clothes took fire, and that was the end of stealth. Thoros gave a shout, and the outlaws attacked in earnest. Arya watched atop from her horse on the crest of the wooded ridge that overlooked the Septory Mill brewhouse and stables in the desolation of weeds, burnt trees, and mud that surrounded them. The trees were mostly bare now, and the few withered brown leaves that still clung to the branches did little to obstruct her view. Lord Beric had left Beardless Dick and Mudge to guard them. Arya hated being left behind like she was some stupid child, but at least Gendry had been kept back as well. She knew better than to try and argue. This was a battle, and in battle, you had to obey.
So we're seeing Arya once again kind of feeling helpless right here, right? Mm-hmm. She is at the whims of the people who are captured, really. I mean, that's really what she is, as a hostage in many ways. What a banging opening line. No one opens chapters as good as George, dude.
Mm-mm, no.
Man on the roof was the first to die. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, he does. And then in the next little paragraph too, I want to read this here. The eastern horizon glowed gold and pink, and overhead a half moon peeked out through low settling clouds. The wind blew cold, and Arya could hear the rush of water and the creak of the mill's great wooden water well. There was a smell of rain in the dawn air, but no drops were falling yet. A lot of imagery there. You could really dive in. As we always try to talk about the imagery that's going on, gold and pink. You've also got like the wind blew cold and Arya could hear the rush of water, right? Yeah, just I don't know. Are we gonna get like a super Arya like we get in the show, right? Who takes down the Night King? Like, is she gonna become some sort of like super assassin and we get like cool moments like that?
Well, she certainly isn't going through all of this training for nothing, right?
Right.
I mean, one thing in the show you can say is that she went through all that training and she did deliver a huge moment that she wouldn't have been able to do without that training, most likely. It was more so everything after that where she was just totally ineffective and standing around, where you're like,
right,
you're arguably the most ridiculously strong person here because you have all these mysterious powers. Like, why aren't you assassinating Dany right now? Like, what is going on? Why didn't you kill Cersei by putting on Jaime's face? Like, there's a lot of stuff that didn't really add up. I do wonder if Arya's revenge plot is maybe tied up in the idea of finding out that revenge actually is not the answer. I think that we will see her give some comeback, right? She might kill some Freys like in the show, but I do wonder if it'll come to a period or a time where, you know, she seeks revenge on someone and realizes that, you know, it doesn't fix things. Maybe Lady Stoneheart, you know, is an undead vengeance person, right? Like completely driven by vengeance from the afterlife, revived. Maybe seeing her mother like that will change the way she views her mission. There's a lot to say about like where Arya goes in the books. I don't think the show really is a great representation of what she ends up doing. I could see the Frey thing maybe happening, but you don't get through all this stuff not to be an extremely powerful person. Also, George is writing heroic fantasy, and a kid being stronger than they're given and kind of overcoming, right? Like that's part of the fantasy genre and the tropes of it. So a coming of age for Arya and her becoming special, I think definitely makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually, that ties into a line here, and I want to pull it up. It's actually sort of at the end. So after you see all of these people die, right. And I think this is very, just everything you said, this kind of, you know, ties into that. Right. So at the very end, after this sort of battle is over, we see a lot of people die, you know, and they're talking right after Thoros and are talking about like the Lord of Light and how many times he's been brought back and everything. It says Jaqen was gone, though. He'd left her. Hot Pie left me too. And now Gendry is leaving. Lommy had died. Yoren had died. Cyril Pharrell had died. And even her father had died. And Jaqen had given her a stupid iron penny and vanished. Valar Morghulis, she whispered softly, tightening her fist so that the hard edges of the coin dug into her palm. Sir Gregor, Dunsan, Poliver, Raff the Sweetling, the Tickler, and the Hound, Sir Illyn, Sir Meryn, King Joffrey, King Cersei. Arya tried to imagine how they would all look when they were dead, but it was hard to bring their faces to mind. The Hound she could see.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, don't panic. We've got a secret source for incredible original gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They've got unique hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling.
Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. So skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original at uncommongoods.com. You know, Jimmy, there's a few things on there that I found actually pretty cool and intriguing. We do a white elephant, you know, at our big family Christmas, and I never know what to get. But some of these things I found on Uncommon Goods, they have handmade items like... Personally, every summer we go to this place called Detroit Lake. It's a big sort of extended family gathering. It's in Oregon. And I found a artist who makes handcrafted cribbage boards and will put a like die cast cut of a lake map inside it. And so that's what I'm actually going to get this year as the white elephant gift. And I can guarantee you that some of the older people, you know, who are really into cribbage in our family are going to be chomping at the bit to get it because it's unique and it's original.
That's phenomenal. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, this is the best part, really. You're supporting artists in small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts that you can personalize.
From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone, from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Not the same old selections you could find just anywhere.
To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee. That's uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And his brother, the Mountain, and she would never forget Joffrey's face or his mother's. But Raff and Dunsan and Poliver were all fading, even the Tickler, whose looks had been so commonplace.
That is so sad.
Yeah.
Whenever you think about how old Arya is and what she's been through, very upsetting. I am so curious. Like, what impact does this have on Arya when she does come back to Westeros and reintegrated with her family, even? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what all that looks like. Imagining what they'll look like when they're dead is so haunting. It's almost horror-esque in many ways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's, like, her mission. And that's that I think it's going to need far more payoff than we got in the show. Because really, her payoff, I mean, yes, she does kill the Night King. But... she needs much more than that. She kills the Freys, yeah. Which I think was her big, that was her big thing. But I think it's going to be much more than that in the books. I think, I don't know who all she's going to ultimately kill. I mean, she, like, you know, we think about it in that she could kill Cersei in the books.
She could, that, yeah.
Like that's something we kind
wouldn't
of,
that be an interesting fulfillment of the prophecy if she's dressed or camouflaged as one of the brothers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Could yeah, that would make that would
it would fulfill sense. The prophecy, technically.
Right. Yeah, it certainly could. Or if she's dressed as like Marcella, right? Because we've talked about the idea that Marcella might not die.
Absolutely possible.
Yeah, and like the younger and beautiful queen. Like that could be something that could be very, because I just don't know that it's just gonna be like the phrase. Is that she's ultimately going to do. I mean, she does kill some other people. It's not like she doesn't, but I feel like she's going to need something big because there's not even a Night King in the books, right? You know, it could be Euron or something like that, but she definitely needs that more personal payoff. And Arya's being George's wife's favorite character, I feel like she's going to have some big personal payoff. And we know it's not going to be Joffrey, right? No. So it could be Cersei. It could be something like that. And then I think she's going to see her mother too. She could still be the one to kill Littlefinger, like the route they did go in the show, but that just that was like a political killing. It wasn't a faceless killing.
Yeah, because Littlefinger didn't do much to Arya. I mean, he did basically get Ned killed, but like it's so indirect.
Yeah, she needs that more personal moment because that's like the whole list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she could still be the one to kill the Hound, like by the gift of mercy or something. I'd say mercy like that.
Killing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be, especially since the Hound already asked for mercy and she doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like to then actually do it would be a very cool way for the Hound to die.
And she has a chapter called Mercy and wins a winner.
Yeah, because I don't think Clegane Bowl is going to end in them like having a meaningless battle on some steps of a building that's already exploding and then the people die anyway. Like, yeah, I don't think Clegane Bowl is going to be, I think there'll be far more significance to Clegane Bowl. And I think that Arya will have something to do with the Hound there.
Yeah, it could, or it could happen afterwards, especially if the Hound wins, which I think George was kind of building towards. But you know what? One of the things is like, because it's in a different medium and it's in a book, we get a lot of internal thoughts from Arya, right? And you don't get that in a television show. So a lot of the, let's say, payoff could actually become internal changes we see in Arya when she returns home and it be her thought process. Like those moments are huge. We don't get those in television show. Right. Because we can't see inside the character's head. They have to act things out. We have to have more dialogue actually between characters to kind of flesh out some of the inner thoughts that were in the book. So Arya, a lot of Arya's payoff could be more internal and her in her own mind. Another thing to think about is that the Freys in the show are really just there to be like the skeevy side, like the B enemy, C tier enemy, right? The Freys are actually massive in the books. I mean, the Feast for Crows is almost all about the Freys. And then whenever you get to the Manderleys, the Freys and the Boltons are huge in the Dance with Dragons. So the Freys have like in the show, the Freys just kind of do the Red Wedding, right? And then they're there, but they're not really a big time enemy for the most part. Whereas in the books, Book Four is all about their elevation in society because of what they've done. So like the Freys just become such a more meaningful house in Books Four and Five. And we get to learn more about different Freys, who they're getting married off to, how they're benefiting. So her coming in and actually doing the Frey murders would be massive in the books because of how much page time is given to the Freys in Books Four and Five.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, actually I saw something and I can't remember where, I think it was just maybe on the Song of Ice and Fire subreddit. And it was something that somebody had talked about that like characters the show had missed out on. And it talked about like Big Walder and Little Walder. And it's like, I think the show totally didn't even have those characters. And it like really talks about the significance of them. And I thought it was kind of a really interesting article, argument or discussion on the subreddit over there. And yeah, I mean, I agree with you in that the Freys are going to need like a very big, I don't think the Freys might have another big moment that we can't even begin to think about.
Well, there's a wedding.
Right. Right. But I'm saying like there could still be something else as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, the amount of page time given to the Freys points to the fact that there will be a huge scene involving them later on. And Wasn't Arya killing Walder Frey like the cold open for season
one of them, yeah,
seven or something like that?
Yeah, remember? Yeah, she
it won't
she
be just, a cold open, right?
Like, yeah, she dismisses all of the women to make sure that none of the women get poisoned. She kills all, she literally poisons all of the men, and then, you know, slits Walder Frey's throat. But that could be like, that could actually maybe be an interesting way for them to meet. Now, of course, Arya still has to come over for that to happen.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's another piece when you talk about Winds of Winter, like what's going to happen. I mean, so like any of that stuff is going to have to be in like the back half of that book, because we already know George has talked about, in when he's talked about, oh, I wrote this and this and this, it's all been Arya over in Essos.
And Jack and Hagar has a role to play, probably.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, for sure. So with that, you have to think about the fact that maybe like a something that could happen would be Arya comes over. Maybe we know Arya comes over. And do we get that moment, or is that moment told to us through like somebody else's chapter? Right. Like, oh, like all the Freys were murdered or something like that. And like, or maybe we see it and then you get the perspective. But I think something that could be cool is if all the Freys are murdered and you hear like Lady Stoneheart maybe wants to know who it was, or like, you know, she doesn't know obviously that it's Arya. It's like something like a ghost or, you know, something like that is what people say happened to them. And then like, maybe she could like, I don't know, go try to see what happened or whatever. Cause she is going to be the one who's really going to want revenge on them since they killed her, you know? And so then maybe that's how she could run into Arya. Something like that could be kind of interesting.
Or Lady Stoneheart is causing such a big commotion and starting, you know, what if they end up doing the Red Wedding 2.0, which is kind of what many people think will happen, Winds of Winter, whenever the Red Wedding happens to the Freys by the hand of Stoneheart. Who's to say that someone doesn't hire a faceless man to assassinate Lady Stoneheart, and it's Arya?
Oh,
like Arya might get back to Westeros on a job.
Yes, that's a good. Yeah, that's a good point.
And then she ends up over there, and then she's like, "I'm Arya Stark. You know, I'm not a faceless man or woman at all."
Yeah,
it'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Okay, let's dive into some of the finer points of this chapter. There's some interesting things here. I'm just gonna pull them up from the reread Reddit, some of the notes people took, because again, this is actually kind of a short chapter outside of, there's a lot of action up front. There's a moment where they talk about a Dothraki is over here that they run into. That's like kind of interesting, just to
how that. Did they get there?
Yeah, we don't know. It's just one of those just like random okay kind of things. We hear a reign of Castamere, like we said earlier, right? You know, the mother's tears. When so it says, it was raining when Lem returned to the brew house, muttering curses after water ran off his yellow cloak to puddle on the floor. Engai and Jack B. Lucky sat in the door rolling dice, but no matter which game they played, one-eyed Jack had no luck at all. Tom Seven Strings replaced a string on his wood harp and sang the mother's tears. When William's wife was wet, Lord Hart rode out on a rainy day, and then the rains of Castamere, when we get, you know, the song. And then finally Tom ran out of songs and put away his harp. There was only the sound of rain itself beating down on the slate of the brew house. The dice game ended and Arya stood on one leg and then the other, listening to Merrick complain about the horse throwing a shoe. So I do kind of like just what he's got going on there, where it talks about like that's the last song that happens, right? And then it's kind of like it's just silence and there's only the sound of rain.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just sort of really kind of setting you up, even like the dice game ended, you know, and Arya standing there, which is kind of what happens is they get there and it's happening and they realize what's going on and then they leave. But that may be the same sort of thing that happens is, hey, there's a party going on. Like you said, Red Wedding 2.0, Freys are having a wedding and then suddenly there's no more sound because she's killed everyone.
Could be very, very devious foreshadowing from George. That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah. Okay, there's some other cool little lines here too when they're talking about coming back, and I believe it's Lem who talks, and he's talking to Gendry, and I want to see if I can find it here, but he essentially talks about like, could you fix it's talking about like a broken man and a broken sword. So Lem says, might your smith can mend a broken sword, but can he heal a broken man? Which is sort of an interesting comparison, since the Hound was able to defeat Beric by breaking his sword, you know, and then we, you know, in could be what's also happening to Barrick is really described as healing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so yeah, that's kind of interesting too. And then, yeah, and then the other sort of big thing about this is that Gendry decides to go along with him. And then Arya has a moment where she wants to tell him, like, hey, I think you should come with me and you can serve. And then she kind of gets upset and yells at him instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any other big takeaways from this chapter, Jimmy? It is sort of a shorter chapter here.
No, not quite. I mean, it's just really cool. Well, maybe not cool, but almost melancholy to think about where Arya ends up by the time we get the preview chapters for Winds of Winter and her going blind. And maybe this is a good time for us to look at where Arya is here and where we know she is right now, right? In Dance with Dragons in the preview chapters for Winds of Winter. Because in two books, George has to get a lot of people, a lot of places. And he has to resolve a whole lot of storylines. And you and I have doubted that he could ever do it in two books, if at all. And truthfully, if you look at Arya's storyline and how she gets over to Braavos, he did it in about a book and a half. And it's really good. So Arya is a really good example of George being able to deliver on some plot lines that require a lot of work and a lot of distance traveled. Which does give me hope that possibly he could finish everything up in two books. Obviously, Danny has to get across the narrow sea as well. I think he could do it.
Who do you think's closer to coming back, Danny or Arya?
Danny.
Really? I mean, she's with the Dothraki. She's
I think Winds of Winter ends with Arya coming back over, Tyrion coming back over, Danny coming back over. Like, I think
we're going to be totally done with Braavos, except for maybe like Illyrio or something. Or
yeah, I think the final act of this story in the final book is all Westeros. I think that, at least in my mind.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I mean, just sort of looking forward, you know, and some of the things we're going to see in this book as well with Arya here, just kind of speculating, because again, it is kind of a shorter chapter here. Yeah, I mean, she's going to have a role to play with the Freys. I think she's going to have a role to play with Lady Stoneheart. It kind of depends on when she comes back and whether Cleganebowl. I think Cleganebowl is happening with the Faith. I think it's going to be that. So, I think the Mountain might be. I think the Mountain might be done before Arya gets back over, because I think the Hound's probably gonna after that is where it kind of gets a little murky for me, because I'm like, man, I don't know when the Hound is gonna run into potentially Arya. So like a lot, and that's the problem with Winds being like one book, is Arya would have to get over to Westeros, and she might only get over to Westeros at the end of Winds of Winter. Can the Freys survive almost all of Winds of Winter for her to kill them in a dream for spring?
And that's us assuming that she does the phrase in. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see the phrase surviving, because almost all of Winds of Winter, then you kill them at the beginning of Dream of Spring. Like there's definitely because they're kind of the house that's, I mean, honestly, they're kind of out of the middle of nowhere. I mean, they're kind of like, it's not like really a lot of people have to actually interact with them in order for the story to progress.
Yeah. Yeah. And who knows? I mean, we're just assuming that she comes at the end, but hey, who knows? Maybe there's two, three chapters, and by the end of Wind, she's killed, you know, she's done her big moment. Who knows? Do you think there's any, there's no chance she ends up with Danny before she comes over, right? Like there's no way.
No way. Danny has, I think Wind's is going to, you know, you and I talked about it. I think Winds is going to end with something to do with like the White Walkers or whatever, whether it's like the wall breaking down or, you know, but I think maybe like, I think Danny, it's also ending with Danny coming back over, whether it's, I mean, even if it's sort of like that's the epilogue is her sailing.
Hey, maybe Cersei hires a faceless man to kill young Griff or Danny, who are sitting on her throne.
Yeah,
and it's Arya. Oh man, that would be wild, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. There's so many moving pieces. There's so many moving pieces. What do you do? And she's right now. It's kind of easy because everything George has indicated is he said, "Look, I'm writing Arya, and she's in Braavos. She's got some more killing to do." So we know she's killing. She's doing some faceless man missions.
She is a murderer. Yes.
Yes. Over there. So I do think it ends with her coming back, or she's whatever, but what's the state of Westeros going to be when she gets back?
It's a good question. Who's sitting on the throne?
Yeah. Who's probably sitting in Riff. Winterfell? Probably Sansa.
Might be Manderly.
Well, maybe. Maybe Sansa.
He might keep that seat warm.
Might be Sansa and the Knights of the Vale. Certainly, yeah. So certainly, I think it's safe to say that Bolton's dead. If Bolton even survives the battle with Stannis,
that's assuming they win that.
Who, the Boltons or Stannis?
Yeah. Because like to this point, everyone's always thought this is where Stannis dies, but we've talked about how things
maybe
changing.
Not. Maybe not. Let me see here. Does George? No, he's just feeling bouncy. He's on his. He hasn't posted anything.
No, he is probably just gearing up for the holidays and the Dunkin' Egg releases and not writing wins. You know, typical George.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, real quick, before we peace out here, I just want to bring up this is a YouTube comment, and somebody is on one of our Craster videos said, "Dude, Samwell." This is from. Core Buser, I don't know, Leko Buser, I don't know, says, "Dude, Samwell to Craster says he gives his sons to the gods, but this is easy to be seen as Craster just being Craster, but what if he is actually telling the truth that the others are gods? Either way, George actually planted that thought in the book with a tidbit, so not as crazy as one might think. Then again, it is Craster saying it, so it certainly has a layer of crazy to him. But it seems sometimes the dimwits or characters who are a bit off their rocker actually know more than they know themselves."
You think that's something?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that's kind of, because you see it a lot. And even in chapters like this, where it is a lot of these side characters say something. And I think it is George sort of like hinting to something bigger, hinting to something, you know, more powerful. Now, Craster is a little bit different just because we've talked about it before. It's like he may legit know what he's doing. Right. I mean, it seems like there's way more to it with him. But yeah, that is one of the things we talked about. And again, you see it a little bit in this chapter too, with like Lemlem and Coke and stuff like that. Like, it just happens to be hinting towards something bigger, like the Reigns of Castamere and everything.
Remember the Lem is Rhaegar theory?
I don't know about that.
Dude, that was the hottest theory for like 6 months online. And I just, the whole time I was like, guys, we've lost it. We've lost the plot. This is more ridiculous.
Not every character with a harp is going to be Rhaegar.
Oh my goodness. At least with Mance, there's like some signifiers that like, oh, that's interesting. But like, I still don't believe that he is. But the lemon cloak thing.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Okay. All right, guys. Well, hey, with that, let me get the thing pulled up here. Where are you at? Brand 3. Okay. So with that, guys, we want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing A Storm of Swords, Chapter 40, Brand 3.
And for those celebrate, happy Thanksgiving this week, depending on if this episode comes out before or after Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good one, or I hope you have a good one. And if you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheneepodcast.com.
We'll see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.